Good morning. It's Wake Up with Co-op, Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. My name is Reg Argue. I have in the studio with me this morning our first guest, Sarah Bjorkness from the local War Resisters. Good morning, Sarah.
Good morning, Reg.
The first question I have for you is you have an upcoming event on June 6th, a fundraiser. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. We're really excited to be hosting David Rovics, who's well-known in folk circles, folk singer, activist, sings about everything from Iraq to Palestine and in between, including Hurricane Katrina and a variety of the ills of our world. And he's a great musician and a supporter of the War Resisters. So he's coming, and we're also giving an opportunity to some local voices, folk and not folk, to participate in the event at the Unitarian Church.
And you were telling me about one of the War Resisters that went back to the United States without mentioning the War Resisters' name. How the War Resister was treated as soon as the War Resister called his unit. Could you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. He didn't call before he went back, but arrived at the border and told them his situation. And so the U.S. Border Services call his unit and found out that that they're dealing very harshly with people from his particular base. And so they put him in jail in Whatcom County for 13 days until they could come and pick him up, the military police. And when the military police arrived, they put him in shackles and took him back to his base. And he was told at that time that that he'll be court-martialed, but not until December or January. So in the meantime, he'll be working on the base for the military, waiting for them to decide when they're going to deal with his situation.
And also, I was looking through MySpace last night, and there was one message that was sent to me, which I found really interesting. It was from a Iraqi veteran. There was recently they went over to Congress, and a veteran by the name of Matzis. Okay, I hope I get the enunciation for the last name right. If I do misenunciate it in any way, I do apologize. Chirox. The Matzis is a 24-year-old. And it went on to, I'm just going to read sections of this. I'm quoting his words. I was from a poor white family from the South, and I did bad in school. He was saying that he was perfect for the military. And he served over in Afghanistan, Germany, Japan, and Philippines, and was due to deploy next month to Iraq. And it went on to say, I stand before you today with the strength and clarity to resolve to declare to the military, my government, and the world that this soldier will not deploy to Iraq, Chirox said in a sun-filled congressional building in Washington. My decision is based on desire to no longer continue to violate my core values to support an illegal and unconstitutional occupation. I refuse to participate in the Iraqi occupation, he says as dozens of veterans of a five-year-old Iraqi war looked on. He spoke of psychological fragile men and women who returned from Iraq to find little help or treatment offered from official circles. Another gentleman by the last name of Goldsmith said he had self-medicated for several months to treat the wounds of war. And I can remember back in the Canadian Armed Forces, back when I was in from 86 to 95, there were so many of us that were self-medicating ourselves a lot because of what we saw. When I was over in Iran in 88, I also knew people that went over to Bosnia. There's some other people that went over to even to Cyprus and Golan Heights and stuff like that because the culture is so different from ours. And we see all these people there suffering. Myself, I still, with talking to people that went over to Iraq and even the War Resisters, I find my mind sometimes going back to the pictures that I have suppressed for many years when I was over in Iran and we were driving down the road and we'd see these burnt out hulls of tanks. And we weren't allowed to go off the road because they only cleared the minefield for the road itself. We weren't allowed off the road because there was fear that the minefield was still on either side of the road as we were driving down from Bac Terrand all the way down to Desfalt. And what happened was that you saw the people that were suffering. You saw the children suffering. You saw the family suffering. You drive by houses, and there'd be this black veil over top of the door, which signifies that they lost someone. And what it showed me was it showed me that how horrendous that war truly is. And anyone out there that you want to support war, you know what I suggest for you? I suggest that why don't you go to war? Why don't you pick the weapon up? Because this is one veteran that will not support the ideas of war. And I welcome in my fellow brothers and sisters from the United States who are part of the military and anyone else. I say to them, you know, that I will support you when you come to Canada in the way I'll give you emotional support. And I don't think that even Canada should be in Afghanistan at this time. And what's your thoughts on that, Sarah?
Well, with the War Resister Support Campaign, we're only dealing with soldiers in Iraq. But personally, my feelings about Afghanistan are that that absolutely we shouldn't be there. And back in March, there was a presentation by a lawyer from the United States whose name escapes me at the moment. Unfortunately, she's a wonderful woman. And she was asked that question. What did she think about Afghanistan? I mean, we've already pretty well established that Iraq is illegal. There was no UN permission to go through with this action. And when she was asked about Afghanistan, because the circumstances were different, she said, well, yeah, it was illegal too. There was no, they weren't being attacked. There still has been no proof about who precisely was behind the attacks in the United States, and that this again is a war about material goods, precisely about a gas pipeline. And unfortunately, many Canadians still think that it's the UN that's in Afghanistan, when in fact it's NATO. And you know, my first question is, what the hell is the North Atlantic Treaty Organization doing in Afghanistan? Obviously, there's an interest there that has nothing to do with peace, democracy, or the uprising of women. I hope to see lots of Canadian war resisters very, very soon.
Yeah. I did an interview with a gentleman by the name of Jorge Lopendia. Mr. Lopendia is a civil engineer and has been involved with mining. His family's been involved with mining for generations. He owns a mine out of Chile that Barrick Gold had attempted to steal from him. Well, with that in mind, one time I asked him, I said, so with Afghanistan, how much natural resources are there right now? And he was answered the question in the way that he was saying that the same formation of rocks that are in place where the natural resources are very rich, it's the exact same things over there in Afghanistan. But it's not being mined at this time. So right off the bat, you have to question, not only do I question that the fact that there's a record opium crop since the occupation of Afghanistan, but you're also seeing that there's an awful lot of formations of different rock structures in there, which leads you to question, when are all these major corporations going to enter there and they're going to start exploiting the land there, where that you're not going to see that many laws in the way of environmental laws, and you won't see that many laws that protect the people. So right off the bat, what you're going to see is you're going to see the exportation of the country in such a way that you're going to be turning it from an already developing country, and you'll be digressing all the way back to, you know, even before United States would even thought of being a country.
Yeah, it's looking more and more like many of these countries where we have military action are just, it's neocolonialism. They're becoming colonies of the international corporations. And but to be honest, unfortunately, we refuse to learn from history. And history has told us that several military groups have tried to take Afghanistan and failed, the British and the Soviets, and we're going to fail too. And So they may well have those ideas in mind, Reg, about mining, but I honestly don't think they're ever going to see the day when they're successful, because the people of Afghanistan, right or wrong in anybody's mind, have a clear sense of who should be there and maybe not who should rule them, but who should be there, and they have a long history of expelling the intruder.
Yeah, and also, can you quickly tell us a little bit more, remind the listening audience about that upcoming War Resister fundraiser, and then after that, we're going to go over to our next guest, so if you could give you about a minute's time to sum
sure.
it all up again.
Yeah, well, we're really excited to have David Rovics coming to town on June the 6th. He's going to be playing in the sanctuary at the Unitarian Church, which is at the corner of 49th and Oak, at 7 p.m., and he's going to be joined by some local musicians and poets, including the Solidarity Notes Labor Choir, Juice, and Influence, who I have yet to hear, so I'm excited about that. So we're looking forward to having a good time, have some education, but have some good social time together and raise some funds, because unfortunately the War Resister struggle is far from over in Canada, and we want to make sure that they can stay.
Yeah, and also those the advance tickets are available. They're going to be available at a Small World Shop and Gallery, and there's also the People's Books Co-op Store on Commercial Drive.
And people can also reserve them by emailing vanresisters@yahoo.ca.
Well, thank you very much for that, Sarah. That was Sarah Bjorkness from the Vancouver War Resisters. We're going to Co-op Radio 102 MCFRO. This is Wake Up with Co-op. Our next guest is the president of the Pathfinders. It's a nonprofit organization here in Vancouver, BC. It was formed in Surrey in 2003. It is a mentorship program for youth, and under the sponsorship of the Human Resources Development of Canada, Pathfinders membership mentorship program targets youth who are homeless, unemployed, and in the care of the social service or in trouble with the legal system. And the gentleman's name is Orville Lee. Hello, Orville.
Yes, hello. Can you hear me, Reg?
Yes, I can.
Beautiful.
Well, thank you very much for agreeing to come on. The first question I have for you, in 1988, you won for the outstanding rookie within the Canadian Football League. Do you feel that every single youth that you're helping out, which has been over 200 and almost 250 at this time, whichever youth that you're helping out, do you feel that you're winning that award again with every single youth you're helping out?
All right, you've really touched on a really important topic for myself. I as you've stated, I did play football and won that award. And many times when I am engaged with the youth or working with the youth in any type of situation, I call upon a lot of the skills that I've learned on that so-called field now in life. But to answer your question, Rich, it's an amazing feeling when you see a young individual, a young life that's gone from hopelessness to hope, that's gone from living under a bridge to having their own apartment, have gone from not knowing how to get a job or retain a job to having a job and flourishing and coming back to the organization and talking to other youth. Those are touchdowns, those are awards, those are wins as far as Pathfinder, as far as our organization is concerned.
And quickly, what is your guys' website so that the listening audience can go visit it, and just any area that we don't cover this morning in the conversation, that they can also check in and find more information on your organization?
Our website is www.pathfinderyouthsociety.org.
What is the one thing that drives you the most, that inspires you the most to continue on?
Being able to inspire a youth, or to change a youth's mindset or outlook on life as it is right now. Although many of our youth, or all of our youth, I like to say, I will say, are at risk of something. And what inspires us is just being able to work with youth and having them see another way. You know, taking their present situation and flipping that switch in their minds to be able to say, you know what, I can get out of this. There are people out there that will support, that will help us in the time of need. And just seeing them grow and flourish. I mean, all of us at some stage of the game and of our lives have had, you know, obstacles and have had issues. And I know without a doubt that many of us have been able to overcome these issues by mentorship and by somebody important in our lives helping us up, giving us a hand up.
Yeah, that is so important, Orville. And the one question I have for you, if anyone wants to volunteer to help out your organization, what is your email that people can contact you?
The email, you can contact us directly at olee@pathfinderyouthsociety.org. It's a mouthful, but it's just olee, O-L-E-E, at pathfinderyouthsociety.org.
And you've now expanded to cover the whole entire Lower Mainland. I was reading through your mission, and it said that you guys want to look upon one day expanding it all the way across Canada. How close are you to achieving that at this time?
We are very, very close. To be honest with you, we've been in negotiations with a few different funding sources that will enable us to just accomplish that very task that we've set out, you know, 4 or 5 years ago. And what we've done, getting back to football, is we've decided to put a Pathfinder Youth Center Society in every city across Canada where we have a football team, because we believe it's very important to draw upon the community and sports. Sports is a very, very important, integral piece. A lot of people, you know, just you look on it and see a bunch of guys running around and doing that, and it's fun. But sports has a way of drawing a community together. Sports has a way of teaching young men how to become, you know, more self-sufficient and become strong mentally and physical, you know, contributing citizens. And we believe that if we can pull upon some of the positive aspects of sports with this organization, it'll give us an opportunity to utilize a lot of the young men that have gone through a lot of adversities and are now athletes, to come back and to give back to youth that are coming up right now and are facing difficulties. So we're planning to go right across Canada. You know, I would say within the next year or so, we're definitely going to be achieving that mission. We're presently in Edmonton, so it's already on the go.
And there's one song that comes to my mind right off the bat. It's I think it's done in the late 60s. It's called Teach Your Children Well.
Yes.
And just as I was reading through your website and also listening to you right now, I just keep hearing that song again and again in my mind, because in order to provide a better future, first we have to be willing to train the upcoming generation and to teach them the mistakes that we've made so that they won't make the same mistakes that we've made.
Absolutely, absolutely. And if you look at it, these young souls are the ones that are going to be running this country. They're the ones that are going to be interacting with our kids. They're the ones that are going to be our teachers, our doctors, our lawyers, politicians, you know, in every aspect of society. So our mission is to be able to empower them, to have them dream that, you know, one day they will be replacing some of us, and in a positive way, right? Goodness, it's unbelievable what's going on out there at this stage of the game, at this day and this age, you know, when it comes to drugs and all these other maladies that have infiltrated and are afflicting a lot of people, and specifically what we deal with, our youth. So we've got to teach them well. We've got to empower them. We've got to motivate them. We've got to teach them how to dream and aspire to do positive things. I don't think any of these kids wake up in the morning going, yeah, I want to be a drug dealer, or I want to be a killer, or I want to just do drugs the rest of my life. No, there are things that obviously have brought on these maladies, and part of Pathfinder's mission is to assist them through this with mentorship, with support, and with just plain old, you know, love and understanding, unconditional love, we like to say at Pathfinders.
Yeah, no, we only have about a minute left, so can you quickly leave the listening audience with extremely inspirational message, one that you keep on looking back at, or whether you're taught by your mother or someone else that made a real big difference in your life?
Each one teach one. If we can all do something positive for our fellow man, obviously that includes the female, male gender, and even animals, do something positive each and every day. Don't wait for the Christmases. Don't wait for the holidays. Don't wait for these types of things to dictate to us when you're supposed to turn on the niceness switch. Do it every day if you can. And it could mean a smile, Reg. You know, it could mean helping somebody. I could see somebody on a bus, on the SkyTrain that's really, really down, and just say to them, hey, you know, I hope you're going to have a great day, or have a great day. You know, each one teach one. And it starts with the individual. It doesn't have to be going out there and becoming a a nonprofit organization right off the bat, but just within yourselves, you know, being positive on a daily basis, regardless of what's going on, because it's so interesting that your mindset, if you have a terrible day, if you're having a terrible day, you get up and you say, you know what, today's going to be a great day. It's amazing what happens in your mind and what you attract. So each one teach one.
Well, thank you very much, Orville. That was Orville Lee. He's from the Pathfinders, a nonprofit organization here in Vancouver. And I say to my listening audience, just to check its website out. It's a very important organization as the youth are our future generation. This is Co-op Radio 102.7 FM, CFRO. You've been listening to Wake Up with Co-op. Thank you very much, and have a beautiful day. And thank you, Orville, for coming on.
Blessings, Reg, and thank you for Co-op Radio.